New job? Growing family? Need a change of scenery? When life gives you a reason to move, start with Open Door. Request a cash offer in minutes. No prep work or showings needed. Or list with us and test the market with the cash offer to fall back on. You choose. Sell your way at opendoor.com. That's opendoor.com. Terms and conditions apply. Open Door Brokerage, LLC and Open Door Brokerage in California, DRE 020-611-30.
If your small business has a problem, you could say,
"Ugh, just my luck."
But you should say,
"Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there."
And we'll help get you back in business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
John Gibbons is with us for our weekly environment spot. And you know, why don't we start in Europe, continental Europe, something that doesn't directly impact us. Can you explain to me why something very interesting is happening, that there has been a big rise in the population of brown bears and lynx and wolves?
Yeah, good evening, Matt. That's right. We've seen, for example, in the last 25 years, wolves have returned to Germany, Austria, Holland, Belgium, and Luxembourg. Now, they already exist in other countries like Spain and up into Scandinavia. So there's what we're seeing here is a phased reintroduction of what are called apex predators. These are basically the big boys and girls that manage ecosystems. That's the job of top predators. They kind of keep...
How do they manage ecosystems?
Yeah, I suppose the best way to put it, it's a bit like in the oceans, for example, sharks are the top predators. And they keep control of what are called the mesopredators. These are the medium-sized predators like coyotes and foxes and so on. So they manage the numbers of these predators, and that keeps the whole system in balance. When you lose the top predators, it has what is called a cascading effect, and essentially you end up with impoverished ecosystems. And that's what we've seen right across Europe. Really, really poor quality ecosystems, ones that are not being managed by the top predators. And of course, a lot of this is historic, sort of human fear of competition. I guess we're the ultimate apex predator, and we don't like competition.
Yeah, but hold on, isn't it fear of being killed and eaten by bears and wolves? The reason that they have declined in numbers is because they get shot. And the reason they get shot is to protect humans from being killed by them.
Yeah, I mean, we've looked at this, at least the World Wildlife Federation have studied this. And what they find is that the wolves, Matt, who have survived into the 21st century, as you might expect, are the wolves that are very, very shy of humans. In other words, the smart wolves. The wolves that are little bit too close to humans, they all got wiped out. So the wolf packs that you see now, they will go to incredible lengths to avoid contact with humans. So that's the key thing. The likelihood of being attacked by a wolf anywhere in Europe is probably a lot lower than the likelihood of being attacked by a dog anywhere in Europe. There are obviously tens, hundreds of millions of dogs across Europe, some of them very powerful animals, some of them very dangerous, but...
Which
we try to control.
Yes, or even put down if they do injure.
But of course we do, because that's because they live among us. The point about wolves is what they need, and other predators, by the way, like lynx, what they need essentially is space. They need habitats in which to operate, where they can kind of go about doing their thing.
Yeah, but hold on, they are a danger, though, to farm stock, aren't they, and to farmers. So you can say that, okay, they can bring a balance in the ecosystem, but if they do, like dogs do, go and start killing sheep, or if they start killing horses or other animals, then that's not necessarily keeping the ecosystem in place, is it?
No, you're right. I mean, the whole point here, again, is about balance. And the question is, do we regard, for example, our landscapes as exclusively human? Do we regard every square inch, for example, of the island of Ireland, that its only value is human utility? In other words, if we can't make a bob off it, it has no intrinsic value. I think that's an incredibly reductionist way of viewing things. And I know a lot of people listening to us, Matt, would agree that we need to make space for nature. And what we're seeing, by the way, with climate and biodiversity breakdown is nature isn't an optional extra. We can't just say, well, we'll have the nice bits of nature. We'll have things like bunny rabbits and hares that we're not afraid of. But we don't, the nature that has teeth, we're just going to wipe them out. That's kind of not how ecosystems work.
How come we've had the increase in the numbers, particularly of bears?
Yeah, this again is about reintroduction, and also, of course, it's about...
Oh, it's deliberate. It's sort of man-made. This isn't just something that's happened naturally, no?
No, I mean, in most cases, this is about deliberate reintroduction. And there have been some very famous case studies of this, by the way. For example, wolves, to go back briefly to wolves, were completely exterminated in the Yellowstone Park in the US, this huge nature reserve. And the US authorities, about 25 years ago, made the decision to ship in a pack of wolves from Alaska. They took them in and released them into Yellowstone. And over the course of the next quarter of a century, they changed the course of the rivers in Yellowstone because they remanaged the entire landscape. So, for example, the riverbanks in Yellowstone were heavily eroded because the grazers were eating away at the riverbank, and there was a huge amount of erosion. The grazers also, of course, were wiping out trees, so the place was heavily degraded.
So who were the grazers in Yellowstone?
Well, in this, you're looking at deer, you're looking at moose and so on, but principally deer. Now, so they obviously, the purpose of wolves, they fulfill the same function in nature as shepherds would fill with sheep. They kind of keep the deer on edge, and they don't kill them all, but what they do is they don't allow them to settle in the juicy places, for example, along riverbanks. And what they found over the quarter of a century, Matt, is that the rivers, for example, things like eagles, beavers, they returned, and the beavers flooded the rivers, and the shape of the rivers over a quarter of a century returned. Also, what they saw in Yellowstone was the return of natural wetlands because of the reintroduction of the apex predator, which was the wolf. If you said to somebody...
So instead of shooting Bambi, we got the bears to do the job instead, or the wolves to do the job.
Absolutely. And I mean, Bambi is great, but what you don't want are 150,000 Bambis, you know, stripping the woods bare. And that's really the whole point here, Matt, is about trying to find balance. And I think this is something that we humans, we're coming to understand that we're part of this system. We don't own it. We don't really control it, and we barely understand it. And we have to give space back. And just on that, by the way, there was an interesting intervention a couple of years ago where Ursula von der Leyen, the European Commission president, her 31-year-old pony called Dolly was killed by a wolf. Now, these things happen. And she got so upset.
Well, they don't if you don't have wolves in the area.
It could have been a Great Dane, but as luck would have it was a wolf. And this inspired the European Commission president to change EU policy to become anti-wolf. This will tell you the sort of how incredibly personalised this became. So von der Leyen herself, apart from all her other interventions, was actually one of the leading reasons why wolves are again being persecuted in parts of Europe.
And wasn't there an attempt at one stage by Eamon Ryan when he was minister to try and encourage a conversation about introducing wolves to Ireland or reintroducing them? We haven't had them for centuries, have we?
That's right. I think the last wolf in Ireland was hunted to extinction about 300 years ago. And it is important to say this. When people are up in arms saying, we don't want wolves, we don't want lynx, we don't want this. The point is, they were here long before us. So it isn't a case of saying that we don't want them. The case is, you know, do we find a way to share our landscapes? Now, I think realistically, we're not expecting to see wolves reintroduced into Ireland anytime soon. But there is another predator, which is called the Iberian lynx, which is essentially it's either a large small cat or a small big cat, depending on how you describe it. But essentially, again, very secretive animals, but they're good hunters. And if they were reintroduced into Ireland, into the uplands of Ireland, they would be a good predator. They would also keep the deer on the move, and we might begin to have a recovery of our mountains. But that, of course, would mean we'd have to come to an agreement particularly for our national parks, that we've got to clear out the overuse and the wearing out of our national parks and hand them back to nature.
Okay, let's move on to something else. I want to talk about feeding birds. Okay, because there's a story coming out of the UK in relation to using flat bird feeders. The Royal Society for the Protection of Birds in the UK has withdrawn flat bird feeders for sale on its website amid warnings they could be spreading deadly diseases to finches.
Yeah, this is one I think that'll come as a bit of an unpleasant surprise to lots of us, myself included, you know, having a bird feeder at home. Now, I checked my feeder and I was happy to see that it had collapsed, therefore I can't be implicated in this. We had a flat feeder, but it's broken. The issue here is that feeder areas, particularly flat feeders, are, first of all, large numbers of birds who are wild animals congregate and come in close contact with one another. This creates an opportunity for viruses and parasites to spread from one bird to the other, because these are typically animals that do not come in close contact with one another.
So, but if you put out feed for them, all types of various different types of bird will come to it.
That's right. And also, so if one of those birds is infected, and there are diseases like, I'll try and pronounce this, trichomoniasis, I think it's called. This is one of these viruses that can be infected. This is the implicated in the plummeting finch populations. And the problem here is if one infected bird arrives onto a flat platform, it is likely to spread that virus to other birds. And that's the issue. Now, there are different types of platforms. One of them, for example, is that, you know, the hanging platforms, they're considered to be less likely, a less good way of spreading viruses. So that's something to consider. So I was having a look at this, and Birdwatch Ireland, for example, they're again aware of the risks here. And what they suggest is that if you have a feeder, you should clean it all and wash it in about every 1 or 2 weeks. And they say
But I wonder how many people actually
I know
that.
That takes a bit of discipline, but a lot of people have their feeders out for kind of, you know, for two reasons. One, to help the birds, and two, because they like to see them in their garden.
It's a little hobby
it's
for people,
hobby.
Isn't it?
People have it, say, where you can watch it out the window. So in that case, what you do is every 1 or 2 weeks, you go out and you wipe it down with a mild bleach, like a 5% bleach or a veterinary disinfectant. And that should be enough to keep the surface clean. And probably it's best not to use a surface as in a landing platform, and instead to use a hanging one, like you might put peanuts or seeds into. And I suppose it's one of these issues. People who are feeding birds are obviously, you know, care about nature and they want to do the right thing. So they'll be the very people who will, of course, want to make sure that they're not inadvertently causing harm.
What sort of stuff should you put in a bird feeder?
Well, again, peanuts, seeds, other things, nuts, for example, things that are high in protein and fats. That's what birds need to eat to give them energy to carry them through the winter in particular. Also, of course, people leave out water mat for birds. They say as well that if you leave out water in a feeder, clean it, empty it out, clean it every couple of weeks, because the water, again, can become infected and it can be a source of contamination and disease. So every now and again, just clean it out, give it a rub, and refill it with fresh water.
There's a listener here who says, years ago, vultures were wiped out in India, and in the years that followed their eradication, thousands of people died from rabies after being bitten by wild dogs, who were attracted by the carcasses of the animals that the vultures were originally taken care of. They've still since reintroduced the vultures, and they've reduced human deaths. There's an awful lot of people also denying your Yellowstone thing, saying that that's a myth, that it's never happened.
Sure, yeah. But to go back to your listener in relation to the vultures, that's a very good point. That was found to be a chemical called diclofenac, which is it's a painkiller, but it was used basically for treating, as a veterinary medicine for treating cattle in India. And the diclofenac was then ingested by vultures, and it caused, I think, in certain areas, a 99% population collapse, leading to the deaths of thousands of humans. So again, vultures, they get a very bad name with vulture funds and things, but vultures clean up the mess in nature. Because, of course, as we know, in nature, there's a 100% recycling rate. There is no waste. There's nothing left there. Everything is recycled. All energy is reused. And that includes carcasses. And if you leave carcasses to fester them out, you spread infection.
Okay, I'm just going to read a couple of comments to finish up because they're positive ones. I love feeding the birds. I have so many different ones. It costs me a fortune, but it's worth it. But here's a really interesting one. I have loads of birds in the garden, and they feed off the real grass and worms and plants and trees. Maybe people should plant things that birds can eat from.
This is right. I mean, things like, for example, seeds of actual plants that are growing, and things like the berries of the fruits in your garden will also provide sustenance for birds, because of course feeding is really just kind of life support. What we want are healthy ecosystems that birds can actually feed themselves.
John Gibbons, thank you very much for being with us.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
If your small business has a problem, you could say,
ugh, just my luck.
But you should say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And we'll help get you back in business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.